kind of wanted to be a voice actor. Like, I really feel like
maybe you could do
like
that.
My voice is fine. I've done a few commercials now.
You could do like a cartoon character.
Ooh.
Imagine like being a cartoon character.
I'd be a pretty, pretty princess. My voice went up for a second. I'd be a pretty, pretty princess.
I'd be an alien.
Ooh, spooky.
I'd be a spawning alien.
I used to have the best impression of Goofy. It was from a commercial.
And what? You can't do it anymore? Like, you lost the ability?
Well, I just haven't done it in so long.
Can you do the Goofy? See if you can do it.
Oh, you want a race, huh?
That was great.
I reached way back into like my adolescence for that one. You're welcome.
We were so worried about what we were going to have to start the show, and now we have something. From Capital Broadcasting Company, this is WRAL Out and About. I'm your host, Kathy Hanrahan. I'm here with Ashley Roddy, who has always wanted to be a cartoon character in her other life. I think she has a future. We need to get in touch with maybe the folks over at like the Toy Story franchise, right. Maybe Toy Story 5.
Someone give me a number.
Pick somebody call Pixar.
I will call them in character. I'll be that annoying person.
Now, you've heard a lot of characters go method. I mean, a lot of people go method when they're trying to get a role. What was it? Sean Young went very method when she was trying to get the role of Catwoman in Batman 2. And she dressed up like Catwoman, like, everywhere she went. And she did not get the role. And she just looked crazy. She just looked crazy because of the fact she was dressing like that all the time. And she was really courting that role. So maybe we could dress you up like a cartoon character. And see if we can get you.
Dress me up like a cartoon. Ooh, I'm thinking ball gowns.
Okay,
ball
so
gowns
maybe.
Or like
princess.
Overalls. One or the other.
Considering that we talked to a person, our guest this week is a person who attracts just wild people. I feel like Jerry Springer is a magnet for just insanity. I feel like crazy people just, which is probably why we were there with him, interviewing him.
Right.
But he's a magnet for like just the unusual, I feel like, you know?
Well, and I think it's kind of, he self-selects a little bit because he does want to help people. Mm-hmm. And he does, it seems to me he's fascinated a little bit by these stories and these lives.
Were you fascinated? When we talk to him, he does talk a little bit about how they, he's doing Judge Jerry now, how they select these cases. They go through the small claims court to find these people to see exactly who would be good.
Right. You know, and they cover the whole country, which I think is a huge strength. I mean, like this whole country, there are some weird places, weird people.
With weird laws that exist.
With weird laws, yeah.
So I'm interested to, know more about that. He was really, he was charming. He was very nice. He was definitely, I can't imagine. He seemed very calm. I can't imagine what it's like when people are throwing chairs or being crazy around you. So I think he had to have a certain personality to kind of
be able to handle that. Like a duck. Like, calm on the surface, but, like, managing things frantically.
Yeah.
Not letting it show.
Because he didn't see, he seems to be okay with the circus around him. So he was a lot of fun. So you can take a listen. He was a guest at a WRL Winter Wonderland. So we grabbed him for a chat before he got out there. Yeah. It was a very cold, rainy day. But we got him.
Beautiful.
We got him out there. We got him before he was out there to chat with him. So take a listen. So we are here with Jerry Springer, which I never thought I'd ever get to actually meet you. I've seen you on television.
Is it painful?
No.
Yeah. Are you okay?
I'm like, Jerry Springer. Yeah. Well, no, and yeah. I'll tell you, you went to Tulane.
Yes, undergrad.
Undergrad, and I am from New Orleans. Yes, I grew up
in
La Paz. It's a great city.
Oh, man, it's great. I don't know whether it was because I was 17 or because it was Tulane or because it was New Orleans. But those 4 years were like, and I knew then, it's never going to get better. And then going through four Mardi Gras, that's where I got the idea of my show.
Really?
No.
I was going to say, perfect.
Yeah.
I was going to say, absolutely. I mean, that would definitely be the reason why. I mean, it seems New Orleans would be a perfect place to do your show when you were doing your show.
And a few years ago, I was the grand marshal of Endymion Parade. And, you know, you have literally a million people as you're going through the parade. And it takes about 2.5 hours to get through. So for 2.5 hours, well, people, are, you know, they do the chanting wherever you go. So it's when you're in the crowd and they start the Jerry Jerry, it's like for 30 seconds while the float's going by. Yeah. But if you're on the float, it's nonstop for 2.5 hours. I hate Jerry.
Oh, no.
No, he's a very nice guy.
I'm sure you hear that constantly, though, like everywhere you go. I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I said earlier this morning, because the question was, you know, where, because you do hear it all the time. And, mm-hmm. you know, as my wife says, you know, we've been married 46 years. And she said, at my age, she said, instead of chanting your name, they should start chanting your address so you know how to get home. So that's that, and it works. That's what it. That's why. But the worst place they ever chanted, I was at a Giants football game, and you know, you had a football game, and at halftime, you know, all the guys go to the men's room there, mm-hmm. and the men's room at state in a stadium is like 30 yards long, mm-hmm. and they have a urinal there with 500 guys, so I get spotted in there. And
no,
it's my turn up to the urinal, and 500 guys are chanting, Jerry, Jerry.
That's
well, at my
pressure.
Age.
That's not pressure, right?
Yeah, at my age, there's enough pressure. And I'll say, I'll be right with you guys. Damn, well, they just stop. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's the last time I'm going to the men's room in a ball game.
So tell us more about the new show, Judge Jerry. Why'd you want to do this show?
Was a month. This is the only job I've ever had, which I was actually trained for, because, you know, I'm an attorney, and that's what my parents spent the money for, send me to law school, and now I get a chance to really do what I was trained to do. I was never trained to be in show business or anything like that. That just all happened. And you know, I'm 75, and I'd been doing my show for 27 years, and I was, you know, it was time for me to retire. And I started getting uncomfortable with the idea of retiring, because every day of my life, I had some place to go in the morning. And then literally 2-3 weeks before the show ended, the head of sales for NBC came into my office and said, "You're a lawyer. What about Judge Jerry?" And that's literally how it happened. And within 2 months, he set up a pilot. And they liked the pilot, and so a few months later, we announced the Judge Jerry. And now I get to do it, which I love. I mean, this is the job I wish I had been doing all along, but of course, I never would have gotten the opportunity if I hadn't become known because of the other show. So I realized the progression. But being a judge, and these are real cases, so even though I joke around because I can't help it, mm-hmm. I still have to be serious at the end, because whatever I decide, that's it. They can't then go to a court of common pleas to appeal it. And it's a lot of money to the people that are before us. So, you know, I deal with it seriously. I study the cases because I have to apply the law of the state that these people are from. And
so serious. It really, you're taking your time and you're really being serious on how you handle it. Yeah. Do you, I mean, is this the most fun you've had the whole way through? Is this your favorite job so far?
The best job I ever had was mayor of Cincinnati. That was my favorite job. But you can't spend your life doing that. So, and I always knew, even though politics is still my passion, I always knew I'd make a living doing something else. I just didn't know it was going to be show business. I thought my living was going to be a lawyer. So obviously my career took a different path. But this I really enjoy doing now, because as I said, it's the first job I've had that I was actually schooled for. And so, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
So tell us more about, I mean, you've done so many different things. I mean, you really have. You're a country singer, ballroom dancer, TV host, politician. What do you want your legacy to be? As people talk about you, as you grow older, you know, what do you want people to, what's the legacy that you want people to think of you?
Well, the truth is, that's just vanity. The only people that you want to leave a memory for are your children and grandchildren, you know, because that's important. That becomes a model for their, you know, how they grow up, what they will become, et cetera. Everything else is just, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, we were having a meeting at my show, and I made some reference to Jack Benny. And, you know, because I'm significantly older than anyone else who works on our show, no one knew who Jack Benny was. And in my lifetime, Jack Benny was like...
He was the biggest thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was a megastar. And if Jack Benny can't be remembered 20, 30 years later, who else is going to be? If you're not a president, you know, or you're not Einstein or the Salk vaccine, the polio vaccine, no one remembers you. And so it's just a vanity thing. You know, I want to be a good person, a good human being. And as long as people who know me love me, then that's important. But if someone walks by and says, love you, man. I mean, I'm flattered and I appreciate their goodwill. Mm-hmm. But I don't go home at night and saying, oh, that fan loves me. Because they don't, you know me. And and so I think as long as you keep a perspective and keep a level head. And, you know, I realize I've never been any better than anyone who's been on my show. I'm just luckier. Mm-hmm. If you just keep that perspective and you just go through life being a normal person.
We'll be back with more from Jerry Springer in just a moment. And we're back with more from Jerry Springer. So what have been your favorites among the cases you've sat for?
All the cases are interesting because we don't take them unless they are. In other words, I should tell you how we get a case. You can't call us to be on the show for me to judge your case. Every morning, the producers get up, and on the computer, they look at every case that has been filed in the United States of America the day before. Oh, and wow. Then, well, they each have different regions, different states to look at.
Coffee budget for that?
Yeah, yeah. So they look on the computer, and if they see a case that's interesting, then they will call the plaintiff and the defendant and say, would you like to have your case adjudicated on national television with me as a host? This is how all the court shows do it.
Yeah, I never knew how they worked anyway. But that's
so it's not a kind of thing where friends can get together, hey, I'll sue you, and we'll get on. So it's a million to one shot that you're ever going to be called. So it doesn't even appear that you don't even come to us unless the producers apparently thought it was an interesting case. So they're all interesting. And what makes a case interesting is that it's a puzzle and it deals with human beings that have a stake in it. So it could be, you know, well, the one of the crazy cases we had, which was sad, is this guy is, it was, I think, in Minnesota, a rural area. He's plowing the snow off his mother's property. And he brought his dog with him, a pit bull. And the pit bull goes to the next property and is barking there. And an elderly couple lives there and scares them. So they run in the house. The guy shuts the door and locks it. Why would you lock the door? The dog doesn't have a key. But, you know, locks it. And he opens the window, takes out his shotgun, and shoots the dog. Well, yeah, your reaction is the same of everyone else. There was a literally a gasp in the audience. Yeah. And, you know, and I said to him, you know, if you don't, it's understandable you could be scared of a dog. A lot of people are. And if it's a strange dog and if it's a pit bull and it's barking, that's all normal. So you get into the house so you're safe and you pick up the phone. You call the neighbor. Is that your dog? Mm-hmm. You call animal control. You call 911. But you don't take out a gun and shoot the dog. And he did. So the plaintiff, the people who owned the dog, and, you know, he and his wife were there, and she was crying, and she says, you know, we don't have a child. This is our kid. Mm-hmm. And he shot the back legs off the dog. The dog lived. But so she sued for the vet bills.
Yeah.
And for $5,000. And so the quick answer is, yeah, they should get $5,000. The hang-up in it was, in their town in Minnesota, there is a leash law. Oh. And the moral equivalency isn't there. It's obviously a lot worse to shoot a dog than it is to have violated a leash law. Mm-hmm. And yet, the reason we have leash laws is so that accidents don't happen. Now, admittedly, the accidents usually are a dog biting another animal or a person. Mm-hmm. And so you want protection. That's why we have leash laws. So even though I had to go for the plaintiff, the owners of the dog, mm-hmm. I didn't give them the full $5,000. I only gave them $4,000 in my judgment, because there has to be some recognition that the law is there for a purpose that would have prevented this from happening at all. So there was some liability on the plaintiff's case. So therefore, instead of giving her $5,000 because of the damage to her dog, I awarded her $4,000. Mm-hmm. So these are the kind of...
It's complex. It's a lot more than just, you know, making one call.
Yeah,
you
but really it's human that. Interest. Mm-hmm. Because you know very well, if you just went to a party with your friends and you're sitting around having a drink or maybe eating a meal, and one of them told you about this story, mm-hmm. yeah, did you hear it down the block? The guy took out his shotgun and shot the dog. No one would be talking world affairs. You would be talking about this issue. Mm-hmm. Because it's a human thing that everyone can relate to, anyone who ever had a pet, even if you didn't have a pet. It just seems so. So that's what I love about this job, is that I get to deal with real human issues.
What about when you did the show Baggage? You were the host of Baggage. That was the thing. We have an intern, and that was the first thing she said. She didn't say Jerry Springer Show. She said Baggage. He used to be the host of Baggage. She loved that show. That was that was wild.
Yeah, that was a fun show to do. And I'm always dealing with strange things, strange people. That was a lot of fun to do. It was a dating show where you had a, you know, the typical one person has to choose among three who he or she wants to go out with. Mm-hmm. And then, but in this case, normally when you're first start dating or you're in a relationship at first, it takes you several months before you find out everything about that person.
You don't get the baggage right away.
Right. In this case, they have to open up, you know, metaphorically speaking, a case. A piece of luggage, and in it says what their baggage is.
It's the little baggage, then the bigger baggage.
Right, the little baggage.
And can
could
you accept
be,
the baggage?
The little baggage is I snore. Then it goes a little bit bigger, and the bigger baggage is, you know, every Friday I have lunch with my ex. I don't know, would you date someone even though you're very attracted? Wow. But they still have lunch with their ex once a month or whatever. And then the big baggage is, you know, this is a woman. You look at, oh, man, this is going to be great. And then she tells you she was born a man. And that
and then they have to accept the baggage.
Or
walk away.
Or walk away. Now, it's in this case, I remember one where it was great because he accepted the transgender person mm-hmm. because... still really was attracted to the person. It doesn't matter what you were born as, it's what you are now, and I really like what I see. So that was great. And everyone's cheering, and that's really nice. But now she, the one who was picked, gets to see what's in his bag.
Oh, yeah.
And he opens his baggage, and I forget what it was, but she rejected him. So, you know, sometimes you get the one of them sometimes gets dumped. So we see.
Well, we just want to thank you for taking your time with us and just hanging out. And do you have any? I love your closing thoughts.
A final thought?
Can you give me a final thought?
Yeah, the thing with my final thoughts is they're always lies. Well, no, they are because
lies.
Well, because the next day I come back with another one. How could that have been the final thought if tomorrow I have a new final thought?
Well, maybe it's the final thought of the day.
It should be. Here's Jerry with his most recent thought. It's not final unless I die. So
we're going to try and keep you alive while you're here.
Thank you.
That's the goal at this point.
Thank you.
Right?
I got a round trip ticket. But so therefore,
they won't forgive us.
It's my most recent thought. And my most recent thought is, may you never be on my show. No, but because it's usually not a good thing. But no, I'm very lucky in life, and I'm happy when people enjoy the shows, and everyone's always very nice to me, so I'm grateful for that. I'm very lucky. Take care of yourself and each other.
So, yeah. So we chatted with Jerry Springer. We want to thank Jerry again for being on the show.
Thank you
Jerry.
So much.
Jerry. I like when he said that when you go through a parade and you hear that like 100 million times, you start to hate it, because that's the thing.
It, like, I just pictured it. I mean, the way he described it, like, just the chorus following over, you over endlessly.
And yeah, and you know, and at a Mardi Gras parade, and which I've been to many, especially Endymion, because it's kind of late, it takes a long time, and people camp out. Like, people will go early, like the day before most of the time, or days before, and put their chairs and stake out their location.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of the big parades, so people go very early in the morning, stake out your spot, and then the parade starts at, like, what, 7? You're there all day.
Jeez.
And there are parades happening before that, you can kind of,
I
nice.
I love that experience.
I mean, you hang out the whole time. Now, I know when we went, the last time I was at Mardi Gras, it was Endymion and Bacchus, because Bacchus is one night, Endymion is another, and there was a rain out.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them, it was the two super parades, ran on the same night.
Whoa.
So you had, like, just an endless stream of just people.
Endless. Oh.
And somehow I ended up my friends in the very front. And we got there, but we weren't in the front. And we just worked our way up. We had some friends who got up to the front, and we ended up somehow in the very front for both parades, which was great. Lots of beads and lots of fun. And my friend, big fan of Anderson Cooper, and Anderson Cooper was one of the Grand Marshals. So we got to see Anderson Cooper, and we waved to him. And
That's
of course, he saw us and waved back because he was like, hey.
And it's at the very beginning, at the very front.
Yeah. My dream is to go to the Biltmore with Anderson Cooper.
No way. Do you think, like, I wish we'll actually swing that?
I think we need to call him.
Okay. I mean, yeah, because we have that kind of pull.
Did you ever watch the show that he hosted?
Yes.
What was it, The Mole?
Oh, my God.
Was it The Mole? Yeah. Is that what the guy was called, The Mole?
Yeah.
He was like, are you The Mole?
He's such a light.
I love him. Like, my mom and I used to
like
them
that. All. They just make you happy.
See, Anderson, call us up. We'll go to the parades with you. Be lots of fun. We'd love to do it.
It's a standing invitation.
It is.
Just anytime you want to come down.
So thank you so much, guys, for listening to us. This has been the Out and About podcast, production of the CBC Podcast Network. Please leave us reviews. We love reviews. We love nice reviews. Please don't say, like, mean things to us, because then I'll cry and Ashley will cry, and you don't want to see us cry.
No, we'll cry on mic too. Like, we'll do it.
And we're ugly criers. We're ugly criers. It's not going to be
we'll put it on our Instagram.
It's not like a Meg Ryan situation where she was, like, so cute every time she cried in every movie. No, we're not. We're, like, blubbery. Like,
no, my eyes get so red.
I don't make sounds. I won't even make a sound when I get that upset. Like, I just like hyperventilating. She's laughing, but hopefully we won't have to have that moment. Please say nice things about us and interact with us on social media.
Quick request. If you have favorite things, we want to hear about them. We've got a favorite things couple of episodes coming up for Christmas and assorted holidays. So please... Mm-hmm. Let us know. What are your favorite things in and around the Triangle area?
Yes, we would love to hear that. So, get in touch with us. Okay, we will see you guys next week.